Walk on me a podcast. Here's your host, Aaron Pete.
Merry Christmas, everyone. We are doing a tremendous episode. Again, this is our last one of 2023, so we had to celebrate and we had to have the unforgettable, the magical Tim Srigley on the podcast again. Tim, thank you so much for coming back on.
Thanks for having me, man.
Let's cheers. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
The other thing we should mention is that the voice at the beginning of the episode is actually your daughter. So when I was working on my rebrand and updating things, your voice is typically the one that starts all the episodes off. Mm-hmm. And then your daughter, how did that come about?
So she started... when I do like YouTube videos and stuff, she's really like gotten into coming down and she like puts on like, I don't have a crazy studio like this, but I have like a little like box where all my audio goes into and there's like a headset that you can listen to the microphone and stuff. So she puts that on and stands in front of me while I'm making my YouTube videos. And then it just kind of, she always comes and helps with that stuff. And so when you asked me to do the voice at the start of your podcast, she was on board. And so her and I went up to the room and just started recording those. And then she's like, can I do one?
Yeah.
And so I think she did a couple, but yeah. So she did the one and I figured I'd send it across to you too, because it ended up pretty funny.
That's got to be so cool to have her interest in what you're working on.
Yeah. It's, one, it's handy because then I can kind of do what I want to do and she'll just come as long as you keep her busy.
Yeah.
But two, it's neat that she's showing an interest in it. And I don't know. She did like, I didn't make it public, but she recorded like an intro to a YouTube episode too. It's super funny. And so I have that like,
why haven't you heard this?
I don't know. I have this weird thing about, I don't want to put her face on the internet.
Huh.
I don't know. It might go live at some point, but
don't ask me. I wouldn't know what that.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of feel weird about it.
Yeah.
So it's private so far, but I have an episode, like a starting episode of her, like sitting at my like YouTube set.
And could you do that one for like premium subscribers?
I don't know.
I like that. Cause then it's not really out there to the world.
That's true.
Yeah. Middle ground.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not just my say either though.
That's true.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's gotta be a balance.
It is. And I don't know what's appropriate in terms of putting kids on the internet. It's yeah.
That's far too complicated for me. Tell us about this drink.
So this is a weird kind of Christmas tradition that I started 5 years ago.
Okay.
So this is eggnog, and this is five-year-old eggnog.
What does that mean?
So every year I make a batch of eggnog. It has some alcohol in it.
Yeah.
And then we drink whatever eggnog we drink for the year, and then it goes into the fridge for that year. And then the next year we make another batch of the same eggnog or similar eggnog, mix it all together and drink whatever of that we will for the year, and then bottle it back up.
It doesn't go bad?
No, because there's a...
Are you sure?
There's a good amount of alcohol in it that kills anything that would cause it to go bad. So this is kind of like traditional eggnog, like it was originally aged because it was a form of storing it. So the alcohol in it preserves it. Yeah.
I'm going to trust you and we're going to give this a try. You've had this before, right?
You know what? I do trust it, but I tried some last night just to make sure that
I don't get poisoned.
Yes.
Okay. Are you sure your stomach hasn't acclimated to it and like a virgin stomach?
Well, I think we're going to find out.
Okay. Well, let's go. Okay. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. What do you think?
That's very pleasant.
Not bad, hey?
I was ready to do another one of those faces where I like squint and my eyes roll back to the back of my head. This is very smooth.
Yeah. It's weird. It kind of changes every year. Like we kind of put different alcohols in it each year. So it's kind
of... What are some of the common ones?
Often rum, some kind of whiskey.
Right.
I'm trying to think what we did last year. I can't remember. There was tequila in it at one point.
And what's in an eggnog?
This one is...
Eggs.
Yeah, eggs.
Got it.
Nogs.
No. Nogs.
it's basically eggs and sugar and milk and cream and then whatever alcohol that you put in it.
It's really good.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Not so bad.
I was really ready to die again.
To run for the bathroom.
This is not ending up like a Hot Ones episode.
No. No. It's actually really pleasant to not be here and have to shovel back spicy stuff.
Or ice cream.
Last time. You had a lot of ice cream. I think my favorite thing that you did was the loaves of bread, and you were just licking them and then tossing them.
Not one of my finer moments.
It was good. Yeah, that was a fun episode.
What else is in here? Like nutmeg?
Yeah.
Is that something that we put in here?
Nutmeg, a whole bunch of sugar.
Right. I like sugar.
I think there's cinnamon. I think we did vanilla last year.
Rebecca has called me a sugar bug.
Are you?
Yeah.
You are a sugar bug?
Like when I have coffee, I like sugar.
Really?
That's like, we could go with less cream, but it needs lots of sugar.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm kind of a black coffee year-round sort of guy.
Until, you look like it.
Until you hit October.
Yeah.
And then I go pumpkin like, spice. Yeah. I love the stupid pumpkin spice, and I pumpkin spice everything. And then going into November, then I switch to like, yeah, the fancy Christmas drinks, the peppermint mochas and stuff like that.
Yeah, but
then the rest of the year, like New Year's hits, and then I'm black coffee again until October. But
do you like look at yourself in the mirror and go like, this is how I want to present myself? Because you look like a person who's like, black coffee for me. Like, you've got that essence.
There's a black coffee
I essence. Have an essence of sugar, please.
You know what? I didn't like coffee for the longest time. And I had this roommate that loved coffee. Right. And then he started me on these, like, starting at Tim Hortons. It was like, I guess it's a mocha. It's like half hot chocolate, half coffee.
Yeah.
I would drink those. And then I started doing the double thing and then removed a sugar. And then it just kind of progressed to black coffee at some point. But there was an origin story where I was a sugar bug as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, good. We're on the same page about that.
Yeah.
And I'd also like to say that I'm very grateful that you've come home to me, son.
Yeah, I'm happy to be home.
Your daughter thinks that I'm your father.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know at all where it came from. She started talking about it a few months ago.
Right.
And then she just, I thought she had dropped it. And then, was it last week I text you?
Yeah.
And she was said something about going to do something with your father, Aaron. And I was like, yeah, that's weird.
How old are you?
I'm 37.
I'm 28. Yeah.
My daughter's 4, to be clear.
Yeah. She's like 20 years old.
But she's convinced that you're my dad. Yeah. So.
And it was Jin from the Abominable.
Yeah.
Abominable.
Abominable. Abominable. Yeah. For a while, we saw you at some event, and she thought you were Jin from the movie Abominable. That's a movie she was watching at the time. Yeah, but although you do kind of look like him, you don't look like my dad.
You don't think so?
To be fair, no.
Is it the skin?
It's a bit of everything.
Okay. No beard as well. I couldn't grow that if I tried. Yours is pretty miraculous.
Thank you.
I'm surprised you didn't do anything where you could have made it maybe white, you know?
You know what?
You could have pulled it off.
So I'm sure that's coming for me.
Right.
I haven't had to be Santa yet.
Right.
But I feel like that's in my future in the next couple of years.
You've got the hair for it. It's El Natural.
I think so. Yeah. I think it's going to happen.
Yeah. I couldn't, you know, this is dollar store, the white fluff for me for life.
You could grow it.
I don't. Have you? No. I don't think I could pull it off. The other thing we need to try are these Starbucks drinks. I thought, what would a white girl do? And so I have the caramel brulee. And you have?
I have the chestnut praline.
Okay. What's praline?
I asked my wife this because this is like her.
That's her drink?
I think it's her favorite one at Starbucks. Okay. Well, up there anyway. And praline, I think, was like a cookie.
Oh.
Or like a crumbly cookie.
Like not a thing. Spice or anything?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Give it a try. Give us your feedback. Put your white girl hat on.
You know, it is pretty good, but it's no pumpkin spice.
Okay. Caramel brulee.
It is good, though. It doesn't taste like chestnut to me.
I don't know what mine tastes like. It kind of tastes like licking a gingerbread cookie or something.
That's okay.
Yeah, not bad. too sugary for me. So there's a sugar max.
Okay. And has like, it come down? Did maybe you like sugar more? Maybe you're on the same path that I was on to black coffee.
I don't know about that. I don't know about all that. Black coffee is terrible. Terrible.
You wait. Next year's Christmas episode, we'll be drinking black coffee.
We'll see about that. Yeah. You've come back with your YouTube channel and you're back to life. Catch us up on what we've missed.
Yeah. So I haven't really been doing much with other YouTube since April, I think, is the last time I posted. Wow. And then now I'm just sort of getting back into it and making some things. I haven't done a YouTube video yet, but I've been, I don't know, working on some leather things and just kind of making things that I feel like making.
Yeah, fair enough. And what did you think of the live event? You came out.
It was so much fun.
Yeah. Okay, tell us.
Yeah.
How'd I do?
You did great. I liked your, what was the thing you said? Ask better questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. That kind of makes sense because you were like, I don't know. We were talking the other day about where you started and where you are now. And so I'm happy that I've got to do one of these in every studio that you've had.
Yeah, yeah.
But like thinking back and looking back, you can see that you continue to ask better questions as you go. So you can see that you're evolving as an interviewer. And now you're like, well, you were amazing then. And now you're like unreal now. And it's really? It was cool to see the live event. And it was, I don't know, it was neat to like see all the people sitting here. And there's like your little, I don't know, it was like a party, but it was like food and mingling and stuff before. I liked your introverts lounge upstairs.
Yeah.
We went and sat up there for a bit and talked to a couple of your previous guests that you've had on. I had a number of people come up to me and say, hey, you were the guy that did the hot sauce with Aaron. So I was good. The music, I can't remember how to say her last name. Rebecca Sishon.
Perfect.
Is that it?
Killed it.
Yeah. She was awesome.
Yeah.
My wife has followed her on Spotify and has been listening to her since. And then my wife actually won a prize here, which was awesome.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
I'm glad.
Yeah. I hope you do another one.
It was surreal to bring everybody out and have it go, I think, really smoothly. I lost my bet with Tim about how much food people were going
to
eat.
I tried to help you out, man. Yeah. I was so full.
I know. It was a lot of food. What was your favorite? Bannock, turkey sandwiches. Where did we rank?
The Bannock was really, really good. Yeah. And I'm not like the biggest Bannock fan, but I ate a lot of Bannock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No jam, though. I forgot the jam.
It didn't matter. It didn't need it.
It didn't need it. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a compliment
but
to the chef.
You're the sugar bug, right?
I am the sugar bug. I do like sugar a lot.
Yeah. It was really good. The whole thing was awesome. I'm definitely coming out for the next one.
And then we're also talking about potentially doing a cold plunge episode.
Yeah, it was going to be today, but I had prepared myself, but I'll continue to prepare myself for that.
Senor McAlpine is down for it.
He's going to do it?
He's in for it. He's team us, I think.
I think so.
Yeah. He decorated all of this. I'm blown away.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks amazing. I think he should have some eggnog as well.
I agree. Would he come out for some eggnog? Do you think we could charm him to come out?
I don't know. I like to think so.
Yeah. I feel like it would be amazing, like a Christmas miracle, you know?
A Christmas miracle.
Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
There will be no eggnog consumed by me. Thank you very much.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I feel like the audience needs this. I feel like it would bring us all together. We would be able to sing a song of Mary.
Yeah, I think so. To be clear, we're not singing, though, today.
You don't think so?
I hope not.
I feel like you have the vocals for it.
I do definitely do not.
No.
Yeah, that would be embarrassing.
And what are some of your Christmas traditions? What are key things in the Strigley household?
Nothing too like crazy other than like old eggs and dairy.
Right.
Mainly, I don't know, it's just like family time for us. This year I've managed to take 3 weeks off at Christmas, so I'm like a big child at Christmas.
Yeah.
And then
what does that mean?
I don't know. I'm just like giddy and happy for Christmas. I like all things Christmas. Like driving here today, I can see the snow lines coming down. Yeah. It was 3 degrees when I left, a little bit chilly. I'm like getting excited for snow because I want all the snow in December.
Yeah.
just last weekend we went and got our Christmas tree, put our Christmas tree up and decorated, and I don't know, the whole thing's just joyous. But yeah, in terms of traditions, we have a couple. A friend of ours has a big Christmas party every year, and it's, I don't know if it's kind of morbid or not, but it honors a celebrity death from the year, and so it gets like themed, like,
oh, well,
as that person. So I don't remember what last year's was. It might have been Norm MacDonald. Okay. But then it just gets this theme. So this year is Bob Barker, and the party is a big...
Who's that?
Oh, man, really?
Wow, here we go. Here we go. Everybody's going to start chiming in.
Yeah, they are on this one. He was the host of The Price is Right. So the party is like a Price is Right party this year.
Okay,
and like then somebody's like built like big podiums to like stand behind. Like it's like a game show thing.
Wow, that is a big party.
Yeah, so there's that this year. And then we get a real tree every year and cut that down and decorate that.
Why? Why do we cut down trees?
For Christmas.
Right. But what's the logic behind this?
I don't know. It's an odd tradition.
Did you think it was, so I just showed you a video before we started by after school. Did you ever think about it prior to that?
Yeah, I like.
Like question, what are we doing here?
I've thought about it and I never understood why you cut down a tree and bring it inside. Because they die.
Yeah.
So why do you cut down a tree and bring it inside? And
only to grow, like we grow it literally to kill it.
Yeah.
Put it in our house.
Yeah. And like. A lot of them, and they're expensive now too. It was like $75, yeah. And they're selling a lot of trees. So it's like a lot of people are buying these things, and yeah.
So you'd never thought about it, like really.
I had thought about it, but I had never like dove deep into like figuring out why.
Right.
So.
How do you process? So I showed you this video,
yeah.
And they basically explain that one of the theories, not the definitive theory, yeah. But one of the theories is that it comes from the Amanita muscaria mushroom,
yeah.
And shamans delivering that to people's homes in the wintertime at the winter solstice. How do you process this information?
I mean, well, to be fair, I think it's the only like, theory I've heard as to where this comes from, so yeah. But it kind of makes sense, yeah. Like it's weird, the mushroom really looks like Santa, yeah.
And the elves piece and makes sense,
yeah, yeah, flying reindeer, and yeah, it was interesting.
For people interested, you just type in Santa Claus mushrooms and it'll be like the first video that pops up on YouTube.
Yeah, you should for sure link it or something.
Yeah, yeah, because it blew my mind. But then you even think like I grew up in a Catholic household and
yeah.
There's no explanation for Santa or...
You just do it?
You just participate. And I feel like most people participate. And just like walking around in the community, you start to see people who get really involved. Like for Halloween, there was this one house and they just went all out. Like yeah. Every spot was filled up with stuff. And then it's like... Then there's the other people who don't do anything. And there are people who have those stupid lights that kind of light up the whole wall.
Yeah.
And it's not. There's no effort put in. It's like a $30 item. What makes somebody more excited about the season than...
I'm not sure. I think for Christmas, you have to kind of like figure out like what Christmas is to you and figure out what makes you excited and what you want to do and participate in and stuff. I don't know. I remember as a kid, we always went and cut down a tree, like not like went into the woods and cut down a tree, but we went to like one of these tree farms and cut them down and brought them in. And I always loved doing that and just like smelling the Christmas tree in the house and stuff it's definitely less convenient to go and cut one of these things down and bring it in and get pine needles all over your house than it is to get a fake one that you can just put up and they're like. They're like pre-lit now. Like fake ones are actually really...
I have a fake one.
They look really good now.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Just something about that tradition that makes me like feel like it's Christmas.
There's something I love about the fact that the winter solstice is the darkest day of the year, the whole year. And what we do as human beings is we do the exact opposite and we light everything up. And I think there's something... like meaningful about whenever, like we were just up at Sun Peaks, yeah. And the cool thing is like we as humans like to figure out a way to enjoy something despite all of the challenges it brings. So like you go skiing, you go to a place that's freezing cold, yeah, filled with snow, and somehow you're warm and you have a hot tub and you've got all like all the gear to stay warm,
yeah,
and you have a fireplace and it's all cozy. And so we do the exact opposite of what you would do in the winter previous to fireplaces and hot tubs. And so like, I like that we do the exact opposite. For when it's hot out, we go to the beach and we stay cool using, yeah, freezies and ice cream, and like we work very hard to do the exact opposite of what should be the norm during these seasons.
That's interesting.
I like it.
Like, I like what you just said, but I never knew, like, I've never thought of that before.
You've never seen the weirdness of human beings in that way, that we like work very hard. Like, my favorite thing to do is go for a drive,
yeah,
in the middle of summer, crank the AC and roll down the window just this much.
Yeah, I do.
And like
too,
that fresh air. And then when it's cold, I like the heat on, the heated seat, the heated,
heated steering wheel.
And then you roll down that window and you get a little glimpse of how cold it is outside.
Yeah.
But it's like, as humans, we like to master things and we want to control it.
Yeah.
I see that in people a lot.
Definitely.
But we don't like think about it. It's just like a tradition and you just do it and you don't know why.
Yeah.
That was the big tragedy. Like for me, seeing people give gifts and the mindset can be like, I'll give you a $10 gift and you give me a $10 gift. Well, why don't we just not? And we could just save ourselves the money.
I hate that. Like we talked about that probably 5 or 10 years ago, my family, right, and well, my siblings, and we just decided, don't do sibling gifts. It's exactly that. I give you a gift card, you give me a gift card, and like, who cares? Just you'll spend your money. So we stopped doing that and just kind of enjoy Christmas. And then there's like, I don't know, there's like stress of finding gifts for people too. And so part of it was that like, we just removed the one, like,
I hate it. This is wrong.
I don't need a gift from my brother. I would rather just like hang out with him at Christmas. And
but the gift is like showing that you know another person.
Yeah.
That's the kindness. It's, yeah, not like.
But it got to a point where we were just exchanging arbitrary gift cards.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I don't really need another gift card.
Yeah. Don't do the gift cards. But like it is when they say that it's the thought that counts. It's, yeah, like think about the person. So if I know you, then I know some of, mm-hmm, your interests and what you like to do and what you enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And then I try and find an area where, yes, you could use more support or you're interested in and I support your endeavor.
Definitely.
And that's a way to show that you care, but it's not,
yeah,
buying a gift card.
Like, I'm not like trying to crap on gift cards. Gift cards are like, put like that, but I mean like my siblings and I were like just buying like, I don't know, Best Buy gift cards,
yeah,
exchanging them out of obligation versus like going and finding something that person would want and giving it to them. I don't know. It seemed like, yeah, the purpose was off. So we were just like, don't need that. So.
Yeah. I'm notoriously against lists. Like people are like, send me like what you want. I won't do it.
Really?
If you know me, if you think of something, cool. If you don't think of anything, cool.
I like that.
I don't want to get like give you a $15 item that you can find and then you just go buy that. Like
where that's good too is then you're truly surprised when you do open gifts because you didn't have a list.
Rebecca just got me the most amazing birthday gift I've ever received, and it is a painted portrait,
yeah,
of my grandmother who I lost,
yeah,
and she was the person who raised my mother up and supported her. She was worked at Cocalita Indian Hospital, took care of her, made sure she had everything she needed, took her into her home and then raised her up and then ended up raising me and supporting my growth. And so she's a person who showed that one person can make a difference, and she's always inspired me in that way. And she got that portrait and now I get to see her every day. And
that's amazing.
That's my favorite gift. But like, I would never put that on a list.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. Cause it's like personal when you get it.
Yeah. And somebody put thought in. It took her 3 months to plan and figure out who the artist was going to be, who's, yeah, going to paint it and who's going to put it together and who had the right style for it. It didn't happen overnight, but like, I can't force someone to do that for me. Like that's somebody's heart being put into that. That's the idea, yeah, of.
Oh, that's awesome. I like that.
Yeah.
I have a Christmas list.
Do you? What's on your Christmas list? Tell me about your Christmas list.
No, I normally do. I don't.
Is there socks on there? What's going on?
You know what? Socks are not on my Christmas list, but Much I always get them and they're very much appreciated. Like, I don't know that I've ever bought my own socks.
Really?
Yeah.
I always buy my own socks.
What kind of socks do you like?
We're not going there. We're not going down like, what socks do I like? Are we finishing this?
Do you want to?
I kind of want to.
Yeah, let's do it.
I don't think I'm ever going to be able to have this again. And we've been talking about this for 2 years.
I have lots of this. So if you want to have some of this again, that's not an issue.
It's better than the caramel brulee.
So
shout out to Starbucks.
I was going to say, just to be fair, you said my drink is better than a Starbucks drink.
Correct. I think it's the fact that it sat in the back of your fridge for a while.
5 years.
That's a romantic place.
I'm happy that you like it.
And we got these cute mugs.
It is nice. This was funny. So at your live event, I was sitting with Matt, your whiskey guy.
Yeah.
And I was talking about this with him. And last year, so I guess when we drank the eggnog last year, so I guess that's the eggnog from 2 years ago, we had put a Jamaican rum in it. And when we had it, it tasted like this eggnog tasted like bananas. Like it was like banana eggnog.
Right.
And so Matt went into a big long thing about rum and how it has, I'm going to butcher what he said, but banana, like kind of like the essence of banana in rum inherently, and went into like tasting notes on rum and stuff. So it's not just whiskey. He knows about all things alcohol, I think.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. Isn't it crazy to see how far he came over the past year?
Yeah, it's so exciting. He's killing YouTube.
Yeah.
I'm excited for him.
Really figuring it out and moving forward. And it was cool that we got to play some small role small in him role getting started.
As he sails past us.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going on trips now to, he traveled for it and stuff.
Yeah. He went to Scotland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
It was, yeah. It's cool to see him do that. And it was awesome. Like, that was the first time I met him was at your podcast there. So I've talked to him a bit online and stuff, but
yeah,
that was a lot of fun. That was a good event.
I agree. I think we got to do more of those. New Year's resolutions. How do we feel about them? You big New Year's resolution?
I'm not like a resolution fan in that, like, you make a resolution and if you don't accomplish it, you should feel bad about yourself and blah, blah, blah. But I do kind of like...
We're different people.
Really?
So I just interviewed Amon Zahabi.
Yes.
And that will be airing. It'll be our first episode back from hiatus.
Yeah.
And man, he makes a really good point that who cares about your start date? What is your finish date? Yeah. When are you going to complete your goal?
Yeah. David Goggins says there is no finish though.
That's true. It's a lot of pressure.
I don't know. I come up with goals for the year for me every year. And this year I kind of fell short. My goal was to hit 20,000 YouTube subscribers and I'm at 19.5. So
you're close.
Could happen, but I doubt it. But I also didn't post anything. So
yeah,
that could be a big part of it.
But that is a big mistake.
Yeah. But I'd like to come up with a goal at New Year's, just kind of like, I don't know, something to focus on for the year.
And what are you thinking?
You
were biking like crazy, right?
Yeah.
Like an animal.
Yeah. I don't look like an endurance athlete. So, I mean, you know, but I haven't like shared it. But my wife has cancer. And so I'm then riding in the Tour de Cure. So I have to, there's like a requirement to raise money and then you ride. It's 200 kilometers over 2 days.
Wow. And when is that?
It's in August.
Wow.
So myself and a buddy of mine's doing it with me.
Right.
And so we've been training pretty hard for it. It's kind of dropped off a little bit coming into Christmas here, but that'll be my goal for the New Year's. I think I'm up to 60 kilometers a ride right now, or 60 something. And then, by August, I have to be doing 100 and then do 2 days of it. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. So that's probably my main goal this year, is to keep getting in shape for that.
Admirable, too.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. How much do you have to raise?
Well, there's no upper limit. You have to raise a minimum of 2,500 to ride in the event.
Right. So. And when can people start donating?
Right now.
To, like, how would they, like, do they donate to you or do they donate to Tour de? How do they?
It's through Tour de Cure. There's a page, like a donation page. You go on there, donate however much you want, and it goes straight to them. They're I don't think it'd be the tax receipt, do everything. I basically just have to promote it and bring in donations, but it goes straight to them. I think they're run by BC Cancer. So
promote it. Tell me.
Yeah.
Why is it important to support?
Why is it important to support cancer research?
Yeah.
Because cancer sucks.
Yeah.
I had cancer. I was diagnosed with cancer the month after my kid was born. So that kind of sucked. And I think I have my last checkup in 2 weeks now. And then I'm 5 years clear of it. Oh. Or 4 years. Yeah. I'm almost clear of it anyway.
Can you talk about how scary it was?
It's scary. Yeah. I don't know. Just kind of when you're diagnosed with it, it's like hearing like the C word and like, oh shit, this kills people, right?
Yeah.
And so, it's weird. And then now I'm free of it. And now my wife has cancer as well. And she's battling that and going through chemo and stuff. So that's, cancer really sucks. So I also feel like there's nothing really that I can do to help other than raise money for people that can help. Like I'm no doctor or cancer researcher. I can't go in the lab and be like, okay guys, let's let's cure cancer today. So it's important to raise money for the people that could possibly cure cancer.
Yeah. What would you want people to know about it and the benefits of supporting this work and
know about raising money for it or know about
like the weight? I feel like people know, like me, I know what you've been through from a distance.
Yeah.
But like, what would be something you would want someone who might not have had an interaction, who's interested in supporting, but like giving us a little bit more context as to the weight?
The weight.
The heaviness of it all.
I was like, wait for what? It's hard to describe.
Yeah.
We've had a ton of support from friends and family, which has been huge. Friends and family is a massive help when you're going through this stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like a roller coaster, man. It's good days and bad days. And the bad days really, really suck. I don't know if I could do anything. If raising money and riding a bike is enough to maybe help stop this thing so that other people don't have to go through it, I think that's worth it. It really sucks. I don't know how to describe it.
It's got to be meaningful to be able to, like, there's sometimes when you're on a run, you're like, why am I could go home, have something to eat. But it seems like a huge motivator.
Yeah, definitely. I've a couple times in my life been pretty fit because I was like training for something, like one of those I did Tough Mudder a few years.
Yeah.
And that was a big thing. And I just find it easier to train for something. So that's definitely been a motivator for training on the bike. Yeah. Getting out there on really cold days when you don't really want to be outside and stuff.
Yeah. Have you thought about like vlogging that or like documenting that journey?
I have. Yeah. I haven't started yet, but I'm going to try to, I think, start doing that this year. There's another goal. Maybe just start another channel and doing that. I was thinking about how I would do that and grow an audience. And I don't know. I'm like not the best cyclist or anything. So I don't know if anybody would follow that, but I was going to try to do some funny stuff. I feel
like that would be why people would tune in.
Maybe.
Like it's different hearing from somebody who's Ayman Zahabi was talking about the fact that there's this person who did like an ultimate fast.
Yeah.
And he did like a year of like fasting.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And like he was having like just, he was something like 300 or 400 pounds.
Yeah.
And like lost a bunch of weight as a consequence. But the reason people wanted to tune in was because he was overweight.
Yeah.
And they wanted to see like the effects.
Yeah. There's
It's different if you're like a pro. What's that guy? Hansen?
Oh, Lance Armstrong.
There you go. That guy.
Well, I feel like I'm similar to Lance Armstrong.
Oh, perfect.
I had the same cancer and they chopped one of mine off too. So.
Right.
That's funny you say that though. Like there's a...
That was such a funny way to put that.
Okay. Oh, the eggnog's kicked in. It's funny that you bring up the thing about... the overweight guy doing the fasting and stuff, there was a YouTuber that like teaches YouTubers, and he said there was, he had like a Star Wars analogy, but he said there's the Jedi or Padawan approach, where you either start a YouTube channel being like the expert, like the master, and putting the information out there, or you start being the guy that doesn't know anything and kind of document your journey learning. And those are the two things people want, and you just kind of pick one of those. So maybe my journey learning how to actually cycle would be something that people would watch. But
I would definitely watch it.
Would you?
It would resonate with me more, if I'm being honest, than leather videos, because I don't know how to make leather and I don't have the space for it.
Yeah, but we'll still get you doing that.
Okay. I feel like that would be something where I'd get like motivated by that.
Yeah.
And get like excited about. Because Amon convinced me to do a 3-day fast that I have to do in the next, before I have him back on.
A 3-day fast?
Yeah.
I think you could do it.
I mean, so
you 100% could do it.
Yeah, I don't think it's impossible, but, and then the cold plunge. Those are my two kind of things I want to do in 2024.
You should end the 3-day fast with the cold plunge.
That would be tough. I'd be really hungry after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you eat after, immediately following your 3-day fast? What would be the meal?
Nothing. Like something very small.
Would it?
Because you get like, the benefit of a fast is that your stomach gets smaller. So if you plan this big meal, you really just wasted 3 days.
Oh, I'm like the opposite. I would get like the biggest burger.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But then you're back in the same boat you were. You got to utilize like and stay on that path. Mm. You know. Any other big Christmas things? Christmas movies. Favorite Christmas movie?
Oh, I have a bunch. I think obviously the favorite is Christmas Vacation. Please tell me you know what Christmas Vacation is.
Do you mean Home Alone?
No, but that's a good one too.
Okay, because that seems like Christmas Vacation.
Have you not watched Christmas Vacation?
I have not.
This hurts me.
Okay. Unaccompanied Minors. Have you watched that?
I don't think I have. I know what it is though.
Yeah. It's really good.
Is it?
It might be my favorite Christmas movie.
Really?
Daddy's Home 2 is up there.
It's funny.
Yeah.
It's better than the first one.
You're going to get flack for not saying Elf.
Elf is funny, but it's damn funny, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that's one of my favorites, but I watch it every year.
It has to be in the top five.
It's up there. Yeah. Christmas with the Cranks. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that one.
That one'd be top 20, maybe?
Top 10.
Top 20 for me.
Okay.
Maybe.
I don't know. We watch a bunch. We actually, the newest animated Grinch with, is it Benedict Cumberbatch as the Grinch's voice?
Oh, okay.
Is really good.
I haven't seen that either.
My kid was watching it as I left to come here this morning.
Wow.
I put that on and made her an egg and then left.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a good one. When I was a kid, I think it was like my grade 8 year, we went down to California, and they were actually designing the set for the Jim Carrey Grinch movie.
Right.
That was super cool to see.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Favorite Christmas album?
Oh, God.
It has to be Michael Bublé.
Does it?
Well, he's Canadian.
I don't know.
And it's very classy. I feel classy. I don't know that I have a favorite Christmas album. What's the
Christmas
thing called? A monocle? When I listen to that album.
You should wear a monocle anyway.
I think I could pull it off. Me and the Monopoly guy hanging out.
I don't know that I have a favorite Christmas album.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nothing?
I've never really thought about it.
Just random Christmas songs.
Just random Christmas songs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Favorite food at Christmas dinner? What has to be on the table?
We switch it up all the time. Like, what do you guys do for Christmas dinner?
A traditional Christmas dinner.
Like just turkey dinner?
Yeah. Stuffing, mashed potatoes, gravy.
So,
lots of gravy for Rebecca. She's a gravy fiend.
Really?
She's a gravy animal, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
She'll have potatoes with her gravy.
That's what you're supposed to have with your gravy.
No, I'm saying like she'll have all gravy and then like a little bit of potatoes to like mix it up. Yeah.
Like you with sugar and coffee.
There you go.
I see.
Yeah.
So would you call her Gravy Bug?
Gravy Bug? That would be a good name. She's laughing in the back. Yeah.
I think it might be. So we have like Thanksgiving in October, like a Canadian would.
Yep.
And then we do that like a family Thanksgiving, like a normal turkey dinner and stuff. And then we usually do like a friend's Thanksgiving around the time American Thanksgiving is in November. And so we don't end up always doing a turkey dinner at Christmas. We did a big lasagna one year. Right. We did
a lasagna one.
Yeah. Lasagna. Christmas.
You're a bad person.
It was good.
You're a bad person.
It was good.
I'm sure it was.
It was amazing.
Lasagna is great. You're a bad person. This is irresponsible.
That's fair.
Okay.
We did that one year. We've done roast, like a nice roast beef a bunch of years. We did.
That one passes by like this much.
We did a porchetta one year, which is like a pork belly, like that you would make bacon out of, rolled up and roasted. Oh, it's so good.
A pork bella?
Porchetta.
Porchetta.
Yeah.
Porchetta.
Yeah.
It's like. Where would you even buy that?
You just buy a pork belly. I think we got it from Costco. Have you never had porchetta? Oh, it's good.
I don't even know where I would, like, I'm thinking of myself in the hardware section saying that word.
Really?
Porchetta.
Yeah. That was good. Pork belly. It's a pork belly and you put some like garlic and herbs and stuff. You roll it up and then you just do it like a roast.
Mr. McAlpine, am I crazy? Have you ever heard of this word before? Porchetta?
I have not.
Have you ever, do you cook? Are you a big cook guy?
No.
You're not the person who makes the turkey dinners?
No.
Or the eggnog?
No.
What's your signature meal that you make?
Are you asking me, or I think my contribution is nil at this point.
What have you made for yourself that would other people would eat?
I make a mean macaroni lasagna.
Macaroni lasagna.
Would you eat it for Christmas?
No. And back to you.
My last question for you, though, is not for you, for Mr. McAlpine, is there any Christmas traditions that stand out to you?
Christmas dinner at my parents. It's been always.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Never specific on like the turkey, whether or not it's.
Because it doesn't always have to be turkey.
It needs to be turkey.
Turkey is. Fine.
I'm part of big turkey industry, okay? This is sponsored by Turkey Industries.
Then I'm just going to stop saying what I'm saying. No, I think turkey is good because you don't have it often.
Agreed.
I think if turkey was a regular thing, I think the chicken's better.
Agreed. Both fronts.
So I think that...
Turkey's healthier.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
But I think what makes turkey good is that it's, you know, several times a year.
Yeah.
But like by the time we've had a few turkeys in a row, I don't always want turkey for Christmas. So I think this year we're doing like a pork crown roast.
Right. My big proposition is I think we need something between February and summer. I think we need like a stronger holiday that stands out. We have Easter, but we need something with a little bit more je ne sais quoi.
Okay. What do you propose?
I have no idea. Something spicy. I think I could pull that off.
A spicy holiday?
There you go. Yeah.
I'm on board, for the record.
Yeah. I just find that that's the time where it's like the most vanilla.
Yeah.
Like Christmas is the one where we all seem to get on the same page. And this is my most controversial question of the day.
Okay.
Okay. So you got to get ready for it.
Okay.
How do we feel about like really working to and just being like happy holidays, removing any specificity to the specific,
you know,
event?
I'm not opposed to happy holidays.
Okay.
But I feel that everyone should be able to wish somebody the holiday of their choosing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like it's a big, like, if somebody, you know, happy Hanukkah'd me, I would be happy that they're just like greeting me with anything. Like, yeah. I don't, it's like, almost like polarizing. Like if you say happy holidays to me, that's great. That's nice. That's a nice thing to do. I don't really care what you wish me.
Like, my only thing is it feels like you're afraid to say what you mean. That's the only thing I do. Like,
yeah,
just say what it is.
Yeah.
Why you're happy. That's what I want to hear. Merry Christmas.
That's fair.
It's like, we never say the word merry. I like the word.
Yeah.
Merry holidays.
It sounds weird.
Okay. Well, I like it.
Sounds kind of weird. Yeah, you don't say merry, though. Like, you wouldn't say merry birthday.
Like, this is going to be called a Christmas episode.
It is.
Yeah.
I like it.
Not a holiday episode.
Well, it looks like Christmas in here, too.
Yeah, not a December episode. What is with poinsettias? Can somebody explain that to me?
I don't know. You explained to me the origin of the Christmas tree.
Can't explain the poinsettias, man.
No, I don't know.
They've got the red and the green. Man, he did such a good job on this.
It's kind of weird. I like the fire burning.
Yeah. It's very cozy in here.
It is good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Christmas just feels cozy, but I think you're right about that missing holiday, because there's like this lead up to Christmas and New Year's and stuff where it's like, I don't know, just that build up, you can feel it. And even like going into like Halloween is kind of exciting. And then from Halloween, you start just kind of building to Christmas and it gets happier and happier. And then that's there. And then there's just nothing again.
Yeah.
Just after New Year's.
Yeah.
Just like,
levels out. Yeah.
It's just as dark and stuff after New Year's as it was leading up to it. So it's, yeah. I don't know. I think you're right. I think you're onto something. But you would need to have like, it would still need to be a merry time at your proposed holiday.
Exactly. What would you want people to know? Oh, here we go.
So based on your research department, it wasn't until the 17th century that the plant first became associated with Christmas. This was from the Franciscan monks in the town of Taxco del Arcon, first used the shrub in nativity processions.
Wow. Man, I kind of like that, having just like Wikipedia come through the walls.
Having Tim come through there, one, it's kind of like my conscience or God is speaking to me or something.
Yeah.
Just the voice comes through, but it's almost like the Rogan podcast with Jamie in the background.
Yeah.
Like the guy in the chair doing the research and jumping in with
in the control room.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Okay. Let's end this off.
Okay.
What would you want to wish people genuinely as they head into the holiday season?
Merry Christmas.
We'll say more. That's very general.
What else would I wish somebody?
Like personally, I would hope that everybody is able to spend time with loved ones who care about them, who are there for them throughout the year, that they're able to share gifts with the people who've supported them over the course of their year, celebrate good times, and then really come up with a good plan for their next year on how they're going to take care of themselves, how they're going to make a difference in their community, how they're going to grow as an individual, mentally, physically, in all the different ways. And so those are some of the things that I hope people go into 2024 with.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, you were getting there.
Yeah, I wish all those things. Can I do that? You're much better spoken than I am from talking to people for work. But
that's a job.
Yeah, I would just wish people a good time in the holidays. A better year every year. Right. Do the next year one better than the last one. Whatever that is to you.
That's very general and the worst Christmas card I've ever heard of.
That is your Christmas card, actually.
I wish you a happy whatever.
Happy whatever that means to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate every time we get to sit down together. It's always memorable. It's a little wild. It's a little noggy, if you will.
A little noggy. Thank you for drinking 5-year-old eggs.
It was fantastic. Yeah.
I'm glad.
Way better than I thought it was going to be. It was a pleasure doing the Hot Ones episode with you.
Oh, it was fun.
Being in all these different studios. And it's always fun to just cause shenanigans together.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas. Can we get some of that Christmas music going on? I'd like to dance us out if that's at all an option. You. Yeah, they can demonetize my face off. We can dim the music a little bit, or I could talk over it so they can't hear it as clearly. But I feel like we need a little music to play us out, you know?
I think you can add that in post and make sure it's royalty-free. But what I will add is Christmas, the only time of year in which one can sit in front of a dead tree and eat candy out of socks.
That was a savage way to talk about Christmas.
It is, but
accurate.
Delicious.
Wow. Bring in the facts today, Tim.
I really like that.
Yeah. It's a good mixture. Can we get a few looks into the camera before we close out? Something dramatic that we can use as a thumbnail.
A thumbnail. I don't do dramatic very well. Turtle doves and all my favorite things come. That was very good.
Thank you. Making faces is one of the only ways I get people to tune in every time.
Tim, it's your turn. Stare right into the one under the TV.
This one? Yeah. I was looking at this one.
The one with the red light on it.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
And give a smile. Give a
How did I do?
Beautiful.
Perfect. Thank you.
We did
Thank
it.
Thank you.